Welcome into the In the Money podcast for KeenelandSelect.com. Opening day of the fall meet, Friday, October 3rd. Tom Leach along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. We'll be doing a podcast on the Keeneland card each day of the fall meet instead of our regular Saturday-only podcast. We'll be taking a look at the late pick four each day and occasionally a little more than that. And Jim, it is a card on Friday that features three graded stakes races headlined by the Grade 1 Darley Alcibiades for two-year-old fillies that produced the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner last year in Immersive. So let's jump into this with the seventh race, the Grade 2 Stahl Keenan Ogden Phoenix, race with a lot of history, six furlongs, three-year-olds and up. Small field, but you've got some good ones in there. Where did you land?
Yeah, I can make a case for three of them very easily. I thought it was going to come down to World Record and Nakatomi. And I still think World Record is probably going to be the favorite in here. I'm assuming that he's going to go in this spot. And coming out of Bing Crosby, ran third out there to Lovesick Blues, and did not run that well at Churchill, but has been successful here. Flavian Pratt takes them out for about the fifth or sixth time in a row. And I just think it sets up if he's ready off a layoff. He hadn't run since July 26th, so that's the question mark. But his main competition, Nakatomi, also has not run since July 19th when he ran in the Vanderbilt at Saratoga. And this horse has had success at Keeneland as well, 3-for-6 lifetime at Keeneland. And Wesley Ward, of course, is one of the top trainers here. And this horse, a couple of years ago, almost won the Breeders' Cup Sprint back in 23. So I think Nakatomi fits well here. But the sleeper I've got, I'm thinking Skelly just might get back to that form that he had at Oaklawn. And if he does, they're not going to beat him. He hasn't run as well away from Oaklawn, but you go back to 24 about this time, and he was at his peak running a 103 at Churchill after a 101 in the Vanderbilt at Saratoga. So if Skelly gets back to where he was and Luis Saez rides him again, I think he's got a shot. So I think it's a three-way flip of a coin here. I think those three are going to start my pick four. If you made me pick somebody, I'd probably just take the one with a better price.
I ended up on World Record in here, thinking that trip to Del Mar back in July was kind of a test run for the Breeders' Cup, and he held his own with a third in the Grade 1. And I think now they freshen him up off that trip, get him ready with a nice strong effort in the Phoenix to go back to Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup Sprint. He's won over this track too, so he's my pick in here over Nakatomi. The six-year-old has three wins at Keeneland, but only one victory since July of 2023 makes me a little leery. And you make a good point with Skelly. I kind of was thinking the same thing last time and got on him. And so I don't have him in here, which probably means that it will be the time to have him since I tried him last time. But I was kind of thinking that last time, and he disappointed me. So I'm going to leave him off. I am going to add What You're Talking About just because, you know, you see these situations sometimes where it's the other horse for the trainer. And this horse is maybe on the improve with that 98 buyer last time up at Saratoga. So I'm going to add that horse to the ticket for my third one. The eighth race is the Grade 2 Jessamine, presented by Keeneland Sales. It's two-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Trainer Rusty Arnold just missed in this race with Totally Justified last year. I think he gets the money this time with Mackinaw. This horse ran okay as a maiden at Saratoga, but then beat winners at Kentucky Downs, which suggested that they had a lot of confidence in Mackinaw. The pedigree's there to handle the distance. Rusty Arnold seemed really confident when I talked to him earlier this week for Keeneland social media. I like the fact that Saez is returning. He rode the filly in her debut, wasn't aboard down at Kentucky Downs, but comes back on to ride her here. And I'm going to take Mackinaw. I'd do a all-turf, that $3 all-turf pick three ticket for social media, and I singled her on that just because that ticket can get expensive if you don't take a stand somewhere. I'm not singling her in my pick four. I'm actually going fairly deep in here because if I'm not right about Mackinaw, there's several others that could jump up here and run well, like Time to Dream. Don't like the post position for her style. It just seems like she's inevitably going to be caught wide here, but has been very classy so far. Brad Cox has two in here. Pratt is on aggressive lime. Godolphin is the owner of Infinite Sky. Both ran well at Kentucky Downs. So I think either one of those, don't really know which one to lean more heavily on, so I'll just put them both on the ticket. And then Loveliest, it's Keneally and Tyler Gaffleone. And Tyler finally got healthy after a long time on the sidelines and had a really strong summer down at Ellis and at Churchill. And this horse won her debut by five and then had some trouble in the second out at Kentucky Downs. So she could bounce back maybe to that way she ran first time out. She could be a player. But Mackinaw on top for me in the Jessamyn. How about you?
This race is unique in that I don't know that I remember a race at Keeneland where 11 of the 12 horses prepped at Kentucky Downs. Everybody except Time to Dream. And these horses either like Kentucky Downs or they don't. All of these horses seem to have done pretty well at Kentucky Downs, and they're bringing them all for grade two, which is a step up in class, but it's not necessarily a great step up in money. They were running for $250 down there, and they're running for $400 at Keeneland. And with 11 of the 12 having prepped the Kentucky Downs, I'm picking the one who didn't prep the Kentucky Downs, and that's Time to Dream. I like the fact that she ran so well both times at Saratoga. Her first race, she was on the outside, albeit in an 8-horse field with the 7-hole, and she won by 2.25. And then the second one in the P.G. Johnson, she just did not demolish the field and got a 76 buyer, which is the tops in this field by far. And Ortiz rides her back. I think the 12-hole is a problem, but at a mile and 16th, I think she's got time to overcome it. She just doesn't get hung way wide in that first turn. So I'm going to take Time to Dream on top, but you make a good point about Mackinac. Rusty Arnold always does well at Keeneland. She was very impressive at Kentucky Downs. She was 4-5 off that maiden effort at Saratoga, and she lived up to it. Snowface Princess beat her at Saratoga and came right back and won at either Churchill or Kentucky Downs. I think she may have won at Kentucky Downs as well. So that's my two, and I'm only going to go too deep in here. I could make a case for some other horses, but in most cases, your gut fillies that are coming off their maiden win, and in these two cases, both of them have won better races. Mackinac has a maiden, but won in a $250,000 allowance race at Kentucky Downs, and Time to Dream has already won a listed stakes. I'm going to go 212 and take a stand right there.
Darley Alcibiades, a grade one, is next up. This race produced, as I said, Immersive to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies last year. Two-year-old fillies going a mile and 16th on the main track, and it looks like a two-horse race from the morning line. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, and it may be a one-horse race. Tommy Joe is, you don't see many horses in a grade one at 2-5 at Keeneland, but I think the morning line that Nick Tamaro did is probably close. Maybe 3-5 or 4-5 when they get down to it, because some of these long shots will get played just because they're quote-unquote long shots. But Tommy Joe had back-to-back 85 buyers at Saratoga, 6 furlongs and 7 furlongs, the second one in the spinaway where she beat Percy's Bar, who's the other horse that's going to get some play in here, and she beat her by 6.5 lengths. So it wasn't close. It's just a matter of who likes to stretch out to a mile and 16th. I'm surprised that we didn't get more fillies in here. It's a $650,000 purse, and a lot of fillies that could run and get third to make $100,000 and get some black type to make them more valuable in the sale barn. I don't understand only having six, but it's usually a full field here. But it's a good, you know, it's a good bar. We will very likely, if Tommy Joe wins this, she's probably going to be favored in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. So I think Tommy Joe, Percy's Bar, I think the rest of them would have to really step it up. Hot Diva for Biancone, maybe off that last effort, but it was on the turf. So I'm not sure that transfers back to the dirt. She wasn't that impressive on the dirt. Had a couple of seconds. And then the others, I just don't think in the class of Tommy Joe and Percy's Bar.
I ended up trying to beat Tommy Joe with Percy's Bar. I went back and watched the last race when they hooked up at Saratoga, and Tommy Joe couldn't have been more impressive. But Percy's Bar was last and came flying up, beat the rest of the field by open lengths, and didn't really threaten Tommy Joe, certainly. But you get two turns here, and that could help. And you also get the horse that won her debut very impressively at Keeneland and worked 58-1 on September 24th. That looks impressive on its own, but you never know how hard the horse was pushed or anything like that. But I talked to Ben Colebrook, the trainer, and he was genuinely impressed with the work and that how she did it and easily and sat off a workmate and won the work in a very sharp time. So I'm going to give her a shot to turn the tables on Tommy Joe. And both of these could be strong players out at Del Mar next month. And then if you wanted to go deeper, the only other one I thought I'd make a case for would be Go To Girl, who has improved with distance and gets more of that here. The 10th race is maiden two-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the turf. I ended up taking Beach Ballard for Mike Maker, DeTory Rides. And I thought this horse's best race was the only time she got to run two turns on the grass. And then off of that race, which was like an 81 buyer, she went down and ran well at Kentucky Downs. But that was only a one-turn race. The 10 Market Chill, it's Chad, Brown, and Pratt. And horse improved last time out in the second start. Rating Party I'm going to include because it's Walsh and Gaffleone. And Brendan Walsh seems to debut one of these horses going long once or twice a meet. And they jump up and sometimes pay a nice price. And so I think she could be dangerous. And then the other one I'm going to use is Scarlet Wave out on the outside. Don't like the post position, but it's first-time starter for Riley Mott, and he can win with first-timers. And this horse is by Justify, and Justify's love to go long on the grass, so that's the main angle I'm using. I'd like her even more if she had a better post, but I'm going to put her on the ticket as well and go four deep on my pick four. How about you in that maiden race?
Well, I've gone so thin, I could go all and still keep the ticket affordable, but I'm not going to use half of them. I'm going to use five of them. So I used the two horses that have good experience, and that's Market Chill, who had a really improved effort at Kentucky Downs, and then Beach Ballard, who's actually had four races, so it's the most experienced in the field. So Beach Ballard, Market Chill, my top two choices, and I took three of the firsters, Rating Party for Brendan Walsh, just like you said. He always has them ready for Keeneland, and he can pop them their price sometimes. Inkling, the seven horse for Godolphin, is a first-time starter for Owen Hardy. And then Miss Watermelon, first-time starter, the eight horse, another one that might have a shot in here at a price. So I'm going to go five deep in here. I think Market Chill, Beach Battle, I'm going to be hard to beat, but going to go five deep for my pick four.
I did a $60 pick four ticket for the opening day late pick four. I go 2-4-5 to start, then 2-4-8-9-12 with 1-3 with 1-4-10-12, $60. How about you?
I only spent $30. I went 3-4-5 in the opener with 2-12 with 1-3 with 1-4-7-8-10. So I don't think with the two favorites winning the middle legs, you're not going to get rich, but maybe you can turn $30 into 120 or something like that.
Nothing wrong with that. It's all about just kind of rolling along in these challenging cards at the Keeneland meets is just kind of staying alive, trying to find something that you can hit. And if you don't have a big day, you just kind of have a little some of the bankroll left for the next day because it's a stakes-laden card on Saturday that we're going to be talking about. And how about the new paddock? I was out there earlier this week. It looks fantastic.
It does. It's the paddock itself is 99% finished. It'll be ready by Friday. 100%, obviously, and the new saddling area, which is underneath the new building, and it faces the grandstand, the back part of the grandstand, so you can really see the horses getting saddled. The connections will have a lot more room in there, and then we have made the walking ring, the old walking ring, a new winner's circle for stakes horses. So when the stakes race is over, in the past we took them over to the turf course and had the ceremony there, far away from the crowd. We're going to reverse that. We're going to take it back in the crowd where everybody can join around the paddock and celebrate the winners, and then the winners' connections and go straight into the director's room. It's going to be really nice, and that winner's circle looks great. We're going to shorten the time that horses go from the paddock into the track. I want to go a half a turn around that area. So it's beautiful. The building is beautiful. It's not quite open yet, but the east gate is going to be open. The paddock is a lot wider. There's a lot more space for people in the paddock now. We widened the south gate entrance as well. So it's a beautiful, beautiful paddock. I didn't think we could make it better, but I think we did.
Yeah, it looks great. And I love the winner's circle. I think that's going to be really popular there for the stakes races to take those horses there instead of out onto the turf course where it's been done in the past. Fall meet that gets started on Friday, and we'll have this podcast every day with a late pick four analysis of the Keeneland card each and every racing day. So that'll be coming up for Saturday on the In the Money podcast from KeenelandSelect.com.